God doesn't do normal things and we just have to accept it. Well, the problem is that we think that God is a lot like us. And actually, he's not. And he thinks differently. He goes out of his way to say that he's not a man. And so whenever we run what he does through our filter, through what we think should happen or what we think God should do, if I was God, come on. No. We can't do that. That's detrimental to our appreciative health, of our appreciation of the deity. Now, I'll be honest with you, as I always am. I have a hard time with God, oftentimes. I struggle with the things that he does. Some people call God Dad. And I have a problem with that. I'm really confessing to you now, because somebody might say, well, Zender, you don't feel you have a personal relationship? It's a very intimate term, Dad. You don't have a personal relationship with God? Yes, of course I have a personal relationship with God. But it's completely respectful. Here's the problem I have. I'll just lay it out. I had a great dad on this earth. He's responsible, as is my mother, for the wonderful person that I am today. I'm well adjusted, I'm balanced, and that's because of my parents. And I feel that this sometimes puts me at a disadvantage, because everyone else, or not everyone else, but many, many people in this world are dysfunctional because they did not have good parents. So my dad, he always spent time with me. We threw the football together, we threw the baseball together. We played ping pong after dinner each night. My family, we played board games after supper every night. It was like Ozzie and Harriet. It was like the Nelsons, you know. It was so quintessentially late 50s. And it extended on into the 60s. And that was my dad. He would never do any harm to me. Now, my God harms me all the time. He does strange things. He does strange work. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's doing this because of his love. And it's true. My dad did discipline me because of love, out of love. My parents grounded me. Once in a while, I got corporate punishment. And this was good. I'm happy for it. I did the same thing for my children. Yes, I said for them, not to them. It was done out of love. And we talked about it, and we all cried. It was great. So I would like to know that God is crying over the things he's doing for us, because they're so damn hard. And I think that he is. I really do think it's tough for him. But I still can't bring myself to use this familial term, Dad. It's just... No, that's the term I reserve for my earthly father. But for some reason, I can use that term interchangeably. I can use the term father for my dad and for God, because it's a formal term. But I sometimes get upset at the hard things God does for me. It is literally for me. I'm sorry I used air quotes if you're watching the laundry cam. Because my earthly father never would have done these things, which aren't terribly hard. My earthly father was more careful with me. This is deception on my part. I'm deceived to think that my earthly father was careful while my heavenly father is loosey-goosey. While my heavenly father is just careless about things that happen to me on this earth. I know intellectually that that's not the case, but emotionally, and I'm still an emotional creature. I still have a soul. I still am a soul. I don't have a soul. I am a soul. You don't have a soul either. You are a living soul. Therefore, you are influenced greatly by your emotions, and you can't help it. Don't try to help. You are who you are. If you can't tell God what's happening to you, who can you tell? And there's another thing I love to call him. I love to call God, God. and because that removes the intimacy. Sometimes I just don't want to feel intimate with this person who's kicking my ass. I'm speaking of God. I don't want to feel intimate with him at times, so I call him God. That's fine. God is a little colder. It's a colder term. It's a little removed from the familial setting. It's the meaning of it is placer. It's a placer. He puts me where I need to be. And so I toughen up my skin and I say, okay, let's go through this. And I know he's going to get me through it. And I know he's tough. And it's much easier for me to think of him as God. Father, yes, that's as close as I can get right now to the family, to this intimacy that I know I have with him. And on some level, I know I can put my head on his lap and rest. And he's stroking my hair, and he's kissing my eyelashes, and he's rubbing my back. He's doing these intimate things with me, and it comforts me, and I know that. But for some reason, I just can't bring myself to call him Dad. Look, okay, all right, it could be that I'm comfortable with the concept of this, but I'm not comfortable with the title, because I equate that title so closely to my earthly father, who never would have kicked my ass like my heavenly father is doing. Because my heavenly father is wiser and tougher. I will give that to him. My dad is dead right now, so is my mother. They had the audacity to die on me. And so I can say this with some measure of impunity. My earthly father, God, I loved him. Can't wait to see him again. And my mother, yeah, great woman. She taught me card tricks. She taught me many card tricks. She taught me magic tricks. She drove me to my drum lessons. She helped me with my school projects. She was crazy involved with us, my sister and me. And so was my dad. So if I was a smart guy, I would look past my mother and father into God who gave them to me. So really, in a sense, these are interchangeable personages, this God and my mother and father, because my mother and father became an expression of God's love for me. But I hesitate to say this. And I'll tell you why, because there are many of you listening to me who had terrible mothers and terrible fathers, and you hate them. And so it's very difficult for you to say that God gave me these. So this is why I hesitate. This is why I hesitate, because I think I do put myself in other people's place. I do empathize, and I'm not going to exclusively say, oh, yeah, my God's great to me. Sorry about your luck. Because I know for a fact that with everyone, God is doing the best for them, even though it's tough. God's a tough lover, buddy. He's a tough lover. And it's a tough sell for me to tell you God loves you if you had a father you hated, if you had a parent that abused you or put you in an environment that enabled you to be abused. So many people, it boggles my mind, have been abused. And I grew up so naive, even into adulthood. I was so naive. I entered into relationships so naive, thinking that everybody was good and everybody had a wonderful childhood like I had. It was ridiculous. I was walking out there with my little self exposed to the world and its evils. It sounds like I'm trying to make myself out to be some innocent, pure person. Well, I was. I used to be, but now I've been pummeled by evil. In the last 10 years, pummeled by it. And this has been a necessary thing for my development, for my experience, for my training, for my role in the future celestial universe, my role. So I say all this to introduce you, not introduce, but to really bring home to you the God of Revelation. The God of Revelation that is doing so many difficult things, so many hard things, so many things that we look at and puzzle over. And the wording is so awkward. Like this next verse I'm getting ready to read to you. This is what brought all this on in my mind as I was turning on the camera. I wasn't going to do this, and I turn on the camera and something weird happens. I become connected to you and suddenly everything gets real. And I want to talk to you as a fellow human being, as a fellow passenger on this planet, struggling as a fellow member of the body of Christ. For those of you listening to me who are not members of the body of Christ, as a fellow creation of God. Listen, we're creations. We all have a God, whether we realize it or not. And it's my intention to introduce you to him. And as you can see, I'm not trying to sugarcoat him. I live in Realville. I'm a realist. Nobody can put any other ist on me other than realist. And I've said to you before, I acknowledge the sovereignty of God. I know that I'm from God. I know that Christ came from God to save the world. And I know that as crazy as this plan sounds, it's rational, it's reasonable, and that I don't come out here telling you that, oh, yes, God's sovereign, and I love everything he does. That's what Christians do. They get themselves into this fake mindset where they try to excuse God. And they try to sugarcoat everything. And really, they can't tell you that God is sovereign because they can't handle it emotionally. Well, listen, I can handle it emotionally, but not without reality. So I have to complain to you every once in a while that I don't like some things God does. I don't like many things God does. But this is what I will not do, ever. I will not let my emotions cloud my intellectual apprehension of God. I will not let my emotions cloud easy to understand verses like Ephesians 1:11. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. Period. Unquote. Either that's true or it's not. Intellectually, it's simple to grasp. God is operating all things. Emotionally, based on who we are, the damaged people that we are on this earth, and the damned people that we are, seems like sometimes, we can react to that and emotionally and let our emotions trump that scripture verse. Have you done that before? You let your emotions trump Ephesians 1:11. I see it all the time in Christianity and with immature members of the body of Christ. Their emotions take over, and their emotions say, oh, God has done such hard things to me, therefore maybe Ephesians 1:11 isn't true. God really isn't operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will, because they have this emotional idea that God is nice and he just wouldn't do this stuff. Well, listen, he does do this stuff, and I know that. And so I, being honest, would rather vent my complaint like Job. I would rather curse the day I was born than deny Ephesians 1:11. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to say Ephesians 1:11 is true, and it's true that God just would not do these hard things. God wouldn't say in verse 21 of Revelation 18, and one strong messenger lifts a stone as large as a millstone and casts it into the sea, saying, thus Babylon, the great city, will be hurled down and never more be found in it. This whole thing of hurling a millstone into the sea. Why the dramatics? Cut the dramatics. Cut the dramatics. But God says, no, I won't cut the dramatics because I'm God. I wrote this script. If I want to have an angel throw a millstone into the ocean just to make a point, then I'll do it. And Zender, you're going to read it, and you're going to tell it to your viewers, and you're not going to deny it, and they're simply going to believe it because I decided to do it. I'm God. I have everyone's best in mind. If I want to throw a millstone into the ocean just to make a point, I'll do it. If I want to destroy an entire city just to make a point, I'll do it. If I want to destroy an entire planet, save for 8 people, I will do it. Because I'm God and you're not. Have I made myself clear? Oh, yes, you have made yourself clear. Yet my earthly father wouldn't have done any of these things. So I'm still in the mode, because I'm an emotional creature, of segregating my earthly father from my heavenly father. And I say this to my detriment. I honestly do. I'm not crediting myself with this. But at least I'm honest. And at least I'm not using one part of scripture to deny another part of scripture. I got to admit what's true is true. And that all is of God, 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. All is of God. I'm not going to be so stupid as to deny that because I don't think that things are fair or that God does hard things or that my daddy wouldn't have done this. My daddy would have tucked me into bed with a nice cold glass of water. My mommy would have taught me another card trick instead of throwing a millstone into the ocean and damming an entire city. No, that's what my mother would have done. Taught me another card trick. And we would have played Candyland and Sorry after dinner. But I got to grow up. And I am growing up. And I'm mature. And I'm becoming mature. And I exhort you to do the same thing. It's okay to complain. I mean, Paul says, it's ideal not to. Sure, okay, yeah, we all want to get to this place of maturity where we don't complain about anything anymore. We don't. Paul says, don't grumble, don't complain. What word does he use? He uses a specific word that has to do with grumbling. What has to do with not liking stuff? If only we could all get there, and we're moving toward that. And the first step of moving toward that is acknowledging that you have a problem. Isn't that what all the psychiatrists, psychologists say? You have to admit you have a problem. Okay, I'm there. I admit that I have a problem sometimes with God, with what God does, the absurd things he does. Talking donkeys, this is a problem people have with God. Talking donkeys, Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, a man getting swallowed by a large fish. They're just, these people that criticize the, virgin birth, they're smarter, these people. They're smarter than to do any of these things. And yet God does them, and I believe them, and the people who claim to be smart and deny these things are actually stupid. Paul describes them in Romans chapter 1, professing themselves to be wise, setting themselves up as the judges of God, they are made stupid. We're not going to do that. We're not of that clique. We're not of that company. So we're going to acknowledge what God does. We're going to admit to our problems with it. We're not going to deny that we're still souls. We're still stuck on this planet, being tried, being disciplined by our Father. And in the meantime, we are growing up into more and more of an understanding that God is our Father, that he is actually more loving than even the best of our earthly fathers, and that God, the subjector, the Father, will not do one unnecessary thing, either to the earth or to you. And ultimately, it's not to the earth or to you, it's for the earth and it's for you. And that will eventuate this and only this, these trials and only these trials, that only God knows how to bring. These will eventuate in the ultimate good for all of us.